If you got your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of 1 Kings in the 21st chapter. And we'll begin reading at the first verse down to the third. And then go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. Praise God. I must say it's so good to have Brother and Sister Rutledge home tonight and Brother Johnny Wall. Man, I missed them. I don't know about you. Praise God. I know you did. And I tell you what, it's just not the same, just knowing they're out of town. You know, you don't see them that much, right on. I see them mostly on just the service night here at church, but it's just knowing they're gone. It seems like it leaves a void and an emptiness there. And he caught me Wednesday night, praise God. Sister Linda was feeling kind of bad, and I thought, well, you know, it won't hurt nothing, just stay at home tonight. There goes that flesh again. Lord, help me crucify my flesh. Thank you, Lord. But I thought, well, Brother Rutledge, he won't be there tonight, and I'll make it for Saturday night youth service, and everything's going to be okay. And don't you know he'd come in on Tuesday afternoon? Praise God. He was here, and I wouldn't. Praise the Lord. But I tell you what, just like the coming of the Lord, we're expecting back any moment, but yet in our hearts we think, well, it's not going to be right now. It'll be tomorrow. But it could be within the next hour. It could be within the next 5 minutes. Praise God. That's what pays to be ready. Thank you, Lord. But you know, this church has been such a blessing to me. I want to kind of just testify before we get in the Word. And y'all have taken us in so well. One reason we've been gone so much, we've been so busy. Our house is finally closed in Kentucky. And I don't have any ties there anymore. Looks like I'm a full-time resident of Arkansas. Praise God. But I didn't burn my bridges. Thank you, Lord. My daddy told me never burn your bridges, boy. Praise the Lord. But we're here now, and we've got that off of our mind. I thank the Lord for that, because that is a financial worry. And I tell you what, financial worries have a way of bogging you down. Praise God. And we've been busy taking care of that. And it seems like the Lord's just put a special love in my heart for different ones here. Sister Rankin, she doesn't know my grandmother, but she reminds me so much of my grandmother in Kentucky. I love my grandparents. It seems like I was closer to them almost than my own mom and dad at times. There's many times that I stay with them. My grandfather taught me a lot of things that helps me out now. And there's a special place there, Sister Rankin. You favor so much. Sister Murray's house, I was working Thursday, and I had to go by Sister Murray's and change out a meter or whatever. And didn't even know she lived there, over there on a Bose Road or whatever, off of Claude Road. And she come to the door and just made my day, see somebody like that. And before I left there to go about my other order, she fixed me two homemade biscuits with the best homemade plum jelly on them and butter you ever put in your mouth. Praise God. I was going to fix me a Pepsi and wanted me to stay a while. I told her, Sister Murray, I just don't have time. Praise the Lord. But I tell you, I appreciate that. The men of this church, Brother Hired, and different ones I've looked up to, I appreciate you so much. And I can't call of your names. Brother Sammy and Brother Ronnie went with them day in fellowship and squirrel hunting. And boy, there ever was a time that I was praying to kill a squirrel. It was today. Here I was down here from Kentucky, these old boys from Arkansas. And man, I knew if I come in skunked, I knew I'd never live it down. And boy, I was praying hard. Well, I didn't come in skunked. I had more. I ain't going to tell you to come in last. Praise the Lord. But you know what? God's good tonight. He's been so good to me, I could never, ever quit praising the Lord. Praise God. But getting in the Word tonight, in the book of 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, we read what it says. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near to my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Revelation, the third chapter. Jesus speaking here says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." At this time, I'd appreciate if everybody bow their head and let's pray for the Lord's Spirit to move on this part of the service and let's get a hold of the mind of God. Hallelujah. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for the service this far, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful spirit that we feel in our midst, Lord. God, we give you the praise, Lord. Lord, we ask you, Lord, right now, God, anoint thy word, anoint thy servant's lips. Lord, God, you know the needs of each and every individual within the sound of our voice, Lord. Lord, we pray that you meet that need tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, in Jesus' wonderful sweet name, God, we give you the praise. in Jesus' name. And somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Tonight I'd like to speak to you for a while on a topic or a subject of not for sale. Praise God. It seems like the first time when we was looking to buy our home, God blessed me where I was able to purchase our home before we was married. Sister Linda was already down here getting ready for the wedding. And I never will forget how it felt right around the neighborhood looking for a house. A house that I wanted to live in. A house that I wanted to reside in. A house that I wanted my family to be brought up in. And how you have so many different choices. And you begin to ride around. You have different people telling you, well, this one here is for sale. You can get over here in this locality. Or you can go on over here and move over here on this side of town if that's what you want. But the choice is up to you. And you know how you drive around a subdivision and you look for a home that's for sale. And it seems like you always notice, you see, or it was in my case, the house I would really like, the house that really appeared to me, the house that I really felt something for, that home was never for sale. You see, it was always a house that I didn't care too much for. You know, this one here is for sale. And I always inquire, well, what about the one next door? And they tell me, well, Mr. Aldridge, that one has done been closed, the contract signed, and then when it's done sold, you can't purchase that house. And I begin to feel how the feelings of remorse would come up over you because the thing that you wanted most, you couldn't have. You see, you had to settle for something else. You had to take the house next door or the house on the other side of town, the house that you really cared for. It wasn't for sale. There wasn't a sign upon it. And I remember in this way, when we come to Arkansas this time, how we lived with my in-laws for about 6 months, and we shopped around the whole time trying to find the will of God and find us a place that we could move into. And how we shopped, we rode the realtor around, and it happened again. It seemed like every time I'd notice an admired, beautiful home, it seemed like that home wasn't for sale. And I began to look. You see, you can buy any kind of house that you want to buy. It seems like you can go downtown and you see the shabby houses. You see the houses that's grown up. You see the houses that there's no greenery around. The houses look kind of run down. Those are the kind of houses that are up for sale. But you know what? You can run down the street and you see a beautiful home, a home that's well taken care of, a home that has the weeds full out of the rose garden, a home that has the hedges all trimmed. And you know that that house isn't for sale because there's not a sign and there's somebody living in it. And I begin to think about the Word of God tonight where it says that Naboth had a vineyard. It was an inheritance. It was something that his father gave him. And how he cherished that vineyard. I believe tonight there wasn't a weed growing out there in those grapevines. I believe he worked in it every day and every night. Sun up and sun down, he put everything he had into that inheritance. That was his vineyard. But you said, oh, King Ahab, he sought. He lusted after in his heart. And he was envious because it was a vineyard that he thought he ought to have. It was nigh to his neighborhood. And I'm going to get that vineyard. But you see what? When he come to inquire of Naboth, he said, Naboth, whatever it takes. He says, if you want money, if you want another vineyard, I just like it, except on the other side of town, he says, I will give it to you. But you know what Naboth's reply was? He said, Ahab, it's not for sale. There's no signs on this land. This land is my inheritance from my father. And oh, I begin to read this and I begin to think about the inheritance from our heavenly father, which is none other than Christ Jesus. When he went away, he said, it's expedient that I go, but I'm going to send you a comforter in my name. And oh, on the day of Pentecost, when the 120 was getting together there, they received their inheritance from Jesus. And that was the power of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, how the Holy Ghost was so special. How it was so tilled and so well taken care of. Those 120 that received it, those 3,000 at the end of the day that was entered into the church, they begin to realize that they had something special. They had something that God had sent unto them. This was their inheritance. This was something that their heavenly Father bestowed upon them. And I began to think, oh God, we too have to realize the importance of our inheritance. If we let the weeds grow up, they begin to make our inheritance look shabby. If we partake of the activities of the world, we're letting our inheritance get shabby looking. If we partake of the lusts of the flesh, we're letting our inheritance become contaminated with the things of this life. Oh, friend, the reason Ahab won the vineyard of Naboth is because he gave me his inheritance pure and clean before God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm preaching not for sale. Not for sale. I begin to think about how you let that old house grow up. Your property's not worth very much. You see what? The more you do that home, the more your value on that home increases. The more trees and shrubs you plant, the more value of your home goes up. The more you wallpaper on the inside, the addition you add onto that home, the more the value increases in that home. But let me tell you what, friend, it's in the same way in our spiritual walk with God tonight. We can let us get to receive the power of the Holy Ghost and we can kind of hold it. We can kind of keep it in just the shape it is. But oh, don't you realize the blessings we're missing out on? If we get in there and cultivate it, if we begin to reach out for another lost soul, if we'd add on a little addition to it, if we'd reach over here and make it look a little prettier unto the people of the world where they would desire it, just think of the value, how it increase the value of our spiritual inheritance. Not for sale. Ahab got so upset, he went home and cried. The Bible says he turned his face toward the wall. He wouldn't even eat any bread. Oh, I tell you, I begin to think, oh God, there's so many times that I don't cultivate my inheritance. I wonder today if the devil gets in his spiritual little car and he drives it through my spiritual neighborhood. I wonder what kind of sign he would see placed on the lawn of my soul. I wonder if he began to notice whether there was no sign there, that it was well kept and it was well groomed and nothing was springing up in there. There was no envy, there was no jealousy, there was no strife, there was no contention. And I begin to realize that he wondered if that one's not for sale. Or would he begin to come by and he see that I was letting it get a little shabby? If he'd come by and let me see that I wasn't really praying like I ought to be praying. Where he really began to look and he saw that I didn't have a burden, like I really all have a burden. And he began to say, oh boy, you might not be for sale today, but I'll come back tomorrow. I'll come back again and you'll sell me that priceless soul. Praise God. Oh friend, I tell you, I begin to think Ahab come back, man, he tried every way in the world to get it. Naboth wouldn't sell. Friend, I want to tell you something. It cost Naboth his very life, that inheritance that his father gave him, and still he would not sell. And I begin to look at the youth and the older age and the middle age of today. It seems like we're selling out so cheap. It seems like we're taking the first offer that the world bids unto us. It seems like we want to, maybe we're not for sale, but we're for rent. It seems like we want to let them come in and lodge in our hearts. And we want to partake of the different things. But oh, I begin to think, oh God, I can't even have a for rent sign on my soul. It's got to be kept clean up here before Thee. Yeah. Praise God, it's not for sale. Thank You, Lord. Oh, Jesus compared it with something like this. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. You know, I began to think, Lord, when I received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, I sold everything. Everything that I'd ever done, everything that I used to do, I sold out. I got rid of everything in order to purchase this one pearl of great price. I knew it was valuable. And I knew it was going to increase in value. But you know, I begin to look at some people. I begin to look at the situation of church to church you go to. And you see people that sold out to the world and they bought this for a great price. They get discontented with it. They still want to go ahead and partake of the things of the world. They still want to take of the lust of the flesh. They still want to take care of all their activities that I sold out for. Oh, I begin to think, oh God, whenever I sow that, I cannot look back. Jesus said, a man that's put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I began saying, Lord, we want revival. We need unity. Those men that fought the Alamo, they would have never won if they hadn't had unity. And oh, friend, I'm preaching not for sale. You see, there's a day in David's life when he felt like everybody else was going their own way. Whenever David felt like he was the only one that held on to the old paths. Whenever it seemed like David was the only one that really walked the way that he was taught to walk. There was times it's so hard being young people. I know it is. There's times your parents might teach you that something's wrong and you line up to that and you see somebody else in the same church partaking of it or doing it. And there's times it causes you grievance in your heart. And you go to mom and you say, Mom, why can't I do it? So-and-so does it. They go to our Sunday school class and do everything else. Why can't I partake of it? But oh, I want you to read this verse of Scripture in Psalms, the 73rd chapter. There's many times I look back on my life and I see the way that I walked. I was taught to walk a straight and narrow path. And with the help of God, I made it so far by the grace of God. I appreciate the testimony that Brother Rutledge gave this Sunday before he left. How a lot of us probably thought it was funny, whatever. He stood up here and said he'd never been to a ball game. He stood up here and said he never did certain things and all this and that. And there's been times that you see, I was taught that way. I was raised strict. And there's times that when I was in high school, I'd tell Mom, Dad, Mom, they're going. Why can't I go? Son, you just can't go. That's all there is to it. I didn't question it. But you know what? I picked up this verse of Scripture and I read it today. David said in Psalms, the 73rd chapter, he said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly, concerning oppression they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they said, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. But the 17th verse, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Oh, young people, what I'm telling you, when it seems like everybody else is selling out, when it seems like your trials get too heavy, and you just don't understand why, oh, when I come to the sanctuary of God, when I feel the Holy of the Anointing and the Lord about me, then I know why. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, David knew that many times he might feel like there was no hope. He knew many times it seemed like his end was in sight. He wondered why so many times. But he knew when he entered the doors of the sanctuary of God, when he felt the holy presence of the Holy Ghost, whenever he could come into a service like this and hear the song of Zion being sung, then he knew why. He knew why he walked a straight and narrow path. He knew why he began to hold on to his inheritance when everybody else was selling out. David would not sell, not for sale.
Hallelujah.
2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, tells me no one tonight in closing. Paul was a great man of God. Paul was a man that was converted on the way to Damascus by the Lord Jesus Himself. Paul was a good man. He He stood for the truth. There's many times that different followers of his turned their backs and walked off. But Paul had a made up mind that I'm not selling. I'm not for sale. That's why in Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the 6th verse, that's why Paul wrote, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." What a beautiful testimony. Many times the adversary drove by and offered Paul probably greater riches if he'd just go the other way. Stick to his doctrine. Don't change your ways. Paul, you know that light you saw might just have been a figment of your imagination. You might have been blinded. Maybe it was just at the time of the eclipse or something. You just imagined you heard your voice, you know. Paul, it was just all that. And you looked at the eclipse and it blinded your eyes and it formed scales. And Paul, you know there's no truth to the matter whatsoever. But Paul told him, "No, not for sale. Not for sale." But you know what? We read a different one that sold out. You know how Samson sold out? You know how Judas sold out? A man that walked with God. A man that saw the miracles. A man that was there when he fed the 5,000. A man that was there when the dead come back to life. But yet he sold out. He had a for sale sign upon his life. And the adversary knew what it took to get him. But Paul, it would have been a beautiful chapter had he ended it there. But we read in the 9th verse when he begged Timothy to come. He said, "Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas, a man that was training under the Apostle Paul, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And I begin to listen to words, and they ring over and over and over again. Having loved this present world. It's not the lust that draws the young people or moms or dads. No, it's not the attitude of wanting to be able to partake of the different situations. All it boils down to is whenever you bought your pearl of great price, amen, you never lost your love for this present world. When I gave the Lord my life, and I said, "Lord, here's it all. Take it. I don't want anything to do with it. Lord, there were so many things I had offered to me. I was offered to play football in high school. Man, there ain't a doubt in my mind I couldn't have been a good one. I know today I could have in my heart. I was offered to play baseball. Man, my coach every day, Coach Lewis, he'd ask me every time I walked by the block room. He said, "Ray, are you sure I can't sign you up?" But it was a straight and narrow way. God dealt with me in my youth. He dealt with me that if I was going to be anything for Him, I couldn't have anything in this present world holding on to me. Oh, friend, no wonder Paul said there is a race that besets each and every one of us. And he said, "Lay aside every weight that we've got that besets us and run this race with patience." I'm not the pastor. I don't preach what's wrong or what's right around here. I preach exactly what I feel. And young people, I'm telling you from the depths of my heart, if you want revival, if you want a close walk with God, every weight that you lay aside for God, God's going to bless you greatly for it. Hallelujah. You may never make it to the ranks of pro football. You may never make it to the play of World Series out there. But oh, friend, I'm like, "David, I don't need to experience that joy, that exhilarating feeling, but whenever I come into the house of the Lord, I have found a joy that those pitchers have never felt. I have found a joy that those quarterbacks have never felt from winning a ball game, just from coming to the sanctuary with the worship and a praise of my heart and a made up mind that, God, there's no for sale sign in my life. I'm going through all the way." Hallelujah. Oh, I know it's tough. I know it's hard. But let me tell you, I thought I was the only one that made it this way. Brother Rutledge made it a long time before I did. He stood for the night and named those up, said he wasn't bragging. I enjoyed the spirit that he brought forth. I thought, Lord, there's a man that's talented like this man. He laid aside every weight in his youth in order to have a close walk with God. And there are so many times I know you feel exactly like Elijah. I know you feel like, Lord, I'm the only one trying to live right. But Yumpy, when you feel that way, look to your pastor. He's done already broadened out the path. Oh, don't you see that there's a greater inheritance waiting us than we can ever attain to this present life? Jesus just gave me part of my inheritance. That's why Paul said, oh, death, where's that sting? Oh, grave, where's that victory? Because there's no heights in God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand tonight. Oh, I'd like to ask you to come. Young people to come. Get a hold of God. Say, God, I don't want to be a for sale sign on my life. Lord God, let me give you all. Hallelujah. Is there one that'll come while Sister Rutledge plays? Oh, not for sale. Oh, is there one that'll come? Whatever trial, whatever temptation, whatever snare, God gave you the Holy Ghost. That is your inheritance. It enables you to overcome anything that is put before you. Is there one that'll come? The day we all turned on the road away. It makes me happy. And I pray. I never shall forget the day. It's the one that'll come. Oh, don't sell out. Don't think about selling out. Oh, this world's got nothing to offer you like the power of God's got for you. Will you come? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, that He gladly heard my prayer.
I never shall forget the day
when all the
burdens of my heart rolled away.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I like for all the young people, 0 to 35, come up here first. Just line across the front of the church. And I'm going to ask our older saints to come and stand behind them. And let's pray. Let's pray. God gives revival amongst our youth. Lord, don't let there be for sale signs on our life. But Lord, let us give you 100%. Lord, that we're going to endure this race unto the end. Oh, reach out unto Him. Oh, God, search me, Lord. Lord, search my heart. Make sure there's no more sale sign on it. Oh, God, I've got to give you all.
Oh. I never shall forget today when all the burdens of my heart rolled away. It makes me happy, glad. I'll sing and shout and believe everything. Jesus, take this whole world.
Him one more time. Just talk to the Lord. He's here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your penetrating love. Thank you, Lord, for this people. Thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Ghost. Glory, glory, glory. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. There are just some things that's not for sale. And this great truth is just not for sale. I had noticed recently I was going somewhere and there was an old truck, just a body really, just an old truck bed. Really, it's not worth anything, really, except for these collectors that would like to rebuild and all that. But I suppose as so many people had stopped to inquire, what do you want for that truck? And the fellow got annoyed, and he had a sign on it. This truck is not for sale. Now, I wouldn't give $50 for it. I mean, it's a heap of junk. It just is nothing. But somebody... A number of people have wanted it so much to rebuild and reconstruct until he got aggravated with them. Maybe it'd be good if we just put a sign right across here. We're just not for sale. Praise God. No, Satan, we're not interested. I tell you what, now we don't want to be foolish and silly, but at the same time, just look around in our midst. The ones that are not going on with the Lord is the ones who become neglectful with their soul. I mean, for years I could almost boast, we haven't had a backsliding church. We haven't lost people. But the devil has took advantage the last couple of years, and we've lost a few. But now you look back over it, and you'll find these people that have drifted away are the ones that put work, put their job. I mean, you have to work, and you have to miss church and all that, but I like the spirit of Lisa here. I mean, if you have to work on that job and miss church, you don't want to. I mean, there's something inside rebelling against that. You want to be in the house of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And there's others who put pleasure. I can never see anybody choosing anything this world has to offer above the service of the Lord. I've seen some that have idolized their home. As he was talking about the beautiful homes and all that, I have seen some that they had to work on their lawn and work so late and keep everything just so, that the neighbors might be impressed, that somebody might, I mean, beyond measure. I'm talking about there's nice and then there's nice, nice. And just have to have it so until it takes their time and they cannot be in the house of God. But while they've got a beautiful lawn and a beautiful garden and a beautiful house and a beautiful car and all the things that go, what about their soul? I mean, we gotta be here. We gotta feast at the. There's never a message preached from this pulpit by any of our brethren or anybody that comes by, but what you can glean something from the Word of God that'll bless your soul. This has been all right tonight, hadn't it?
Amen.
Tell you what, we appreciate Brother DeRay, and we're fortunate to have him in our midst. Praise God. I mean, for free. Glory. Just that's what's wonderful. When he lived in Kentucky, we had to pay him to get him preached like that. Now he's just, man, it's good to have him as one of the boys. That's wonderful. I like that. Praise God. Isn't that good? I like to put it on him. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, some of these days I'm going to get all of our young preachers and their wives, all those that have wives, and take them without their wife that don't have one, and we're going to really show them our appreciation. I mean, we're going to go to McDonald's. Well, God bless you. Lift your hands and thank God. Will you praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. One more word. I forgot the date. I believe it's the 23rd on a Tuesday night. I guess I've got some fans down in Cummins. They've invited me. I tried to make a switch and send some of you fellows, but they won't me to come. Isn't that good?
Amen.
You can go with me, though. That's on a Tuesday night. Those are not occupied in other services. I believe it's on the 23rd. I'll let you know. But I enjoy it. If they'll let me, I'd like for Brenda to go down there and video it. I'd like to have a copy of it. I enjoy preaching down there. I've got an assistant down there. It helps me. I want his picture. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.